Signs of the times. Let's look tonight at the signs of the coming of Christ. Your Bible's there in Matthew chapter 24, verses 29 through 21. We sometimes wonder where God is during the storms of life. Have you ever wondered where God was during the storms of life? Why doesn't he stop? Why doesn't God stop the evil? The Bible assures us that God will abolish evil. He is going to abolish evil when Christ returns. That's when evil will be abolished. He will come then with shouts of acclamation. There'll be a joyous reunion of all those who have trusted in him. At that time, go with me to Philippians chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. At that time, that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Do you see the wording? Every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Ladies and gentlemen, if you do not receive Jesus Christ as Savior today and bow to him now as Lord of your life, the day is coming, mark it, when you will bow before him as judge. You either will bow before God today as your Lord and Savior, or someday it's going to come to everybody. You will bow before him as your judge. Jesus did not tell us, did he, when he was coming back? But in Matthew 24, verse 36, it says, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." You see, Jesus did not tell us when he was coming back. He simply said, no one knows the day nor the hour. You know what that means? If somebody says they know, they don't know. If somebody says they have the idea and they've got it all down, they're lying. They don't know. No man knows the day or the hour when Jesus Christ is going to come, according to Scripture. In fact, the sixth chapter of Revelation gives us a strikingly detailed portrait, I think, of the end times. But no one knows when these things will occur except the Father who's in heaven. But Jesus said there would be certain signs. Now watch this, please. Jesus did say there would be certain signs to watch for. And these signs are described in the first and last books of the New Testament, in the book of Matthew and the book of Revelation. These things are described, I think, in detail for us to note and to look at. And so as we look at these things, let's go to Roman numeral 1 and write it down, reading the times. Can we read the times? My first point in this message tonight is simply reading the times. Taken together, the accounts in Matthew and the accounts in Revelation give us a graphic storm warning of events yet to come and literally provide for us signs of the end times. Do you know that Jesus Christ is coming? His second coming is soon, and if his second coming is soon, the rapture is even more soon. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The rapture could sound tonight. The voice of the archangel and the trump of God could be heard tonight as we sit here. Wouldn't it be fun to leave church and whoo, just go up to be where he is? What a joy that would be. But the second coming is when he comes back with his saints. The temple. You've got to go to Matthew chapter 24, verse 2, if you will, please. After Jesus had entered triumphantly into Jerusalem and had been hailed as the Messiah, remember that grand entrance. The disciples remarked about the size and the grandeur of the temple buildings. And Jesus said unto them, in verse number 2 of chapter 24, book of Matthew, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now these men, as they heard his words, later the disciples asked another question. Look at verse number 3. When is this going to happen? As they sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us when these things shall be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? I think everybody's kind of excited about hearing that answer. And literally, Jesus answers that question. He begins to give the disciples detailed revelation about the end time, and that is all recorded for us in Matthew chapter 24, verses 4 through verse 37. He started with the fate of Jerusalem. The prophecy was fulfilled about Jerusalem in A.D. 70 when the legions of Emperor Titus destroyed Jerusalem and the temple. He then began to teach about the dangers preceding his return. He said there were going to be some troublesome times just before he comes. Let me ask you a question. Are we living today in troublesome times? Now, he reminded us that some troublesome times would come. In fact, if you go down to Matthew chapter 24, verse 4 and 5, and I'm telling you, we are in these times. Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man, listen, that no man deceive you. False teachers would come trying to deceive by telling people they were the Christ. Verse 5, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. He said they were coming. And then Jesus spoke about wars. And then he spoke about rumors of wars in verse 6, 7, and 8. And you shall hear of wars. Have you been hearing about wars lately? And rumors of wars. Have you heard rumors of wars? See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation. Has that been happening already? And kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. Can I ask you a question? Are there famines? Are there earthquakes in different places all around the world? Yes, there are. Jesus said, hold it. Lift up your head. These are the signs of my coming. Verse number 8, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Stop right there, if you will, please. All these are the beginning. There has never been a time in history when so many storms have come together as we're seeing in our day. Africa, that nation is in constant turmoil. Famine, disease like you wouldn't believe, and wars. Even in South America, we have been plagued with political and social chaos. Even over there in Europe has gone through some tremendous times of change and war that rages throughout the Middle East. No one can deny the wars that are raging in the Middle East even tonight. These have been seen by us. I get to thinking about all those tsunamis, all those earthquakes that we've been hearing about. The volcanic eruptions we've been hearing about all over the globe, leading to widespread death and destruction and disease. And you can't tell me you haven't seen the news in the last week or so where Haiti was hit again. Have you seen the pictures from Haiti? Oh, what a miserable condition they're in. And they're walking in mud and water up to their knees. Even the little tents after the great earthquake that they've been living in, all huddled together now, are being swept away by the floodwaters of a hurricane. It is horrible over there in Haiti. We sit here in America in our fine church pews, and Haitians are suffering horribly. No doubt if anybody would have said, you are now facing the great tribulation, they would say, yes, we are. But we know it's not the tribulation. But we do know that all these things are the beginning, listen, are the beginning of sorrows. Reading the times. In America, We see continual racial division. We see homelessness, crime, sexual abuse, growing violence, desecration of traditional family values, the spread of AIDS, alcoholism, drug addiction, pornography, and other dangerous behaviors. And I mentioned those things this morning, and they're still prevalent tonight in our churches as well as out there on the streets. You know it to be true. I just heard about Toledo. They're warning everybody to make sure you lock your doors of your houses, especially this season around the holidays and Christmas, with Christmas trees up and toys purchased, items purchased. They had a number of break-in, home break-ins, where people are breaking into the houses, and now that's becoming a plague, an epidemic all over. It's getting worse, folks. And as money gets tight, somebody's going to try to steal from you. Invade your garage, invade your home, invade your person, invade your family. Read the times. It's not getting better. It's getting worse. I get so upset with some preachers who want to say things are getting better. We're having a revival. You don't even know what a revival is, sir. Revival is when people get right with God, not when you shout and sing a little bit and dance a little bit. That's not revival. Revival is when somebody gets right with God. They get their sin life repaired and fixed by Almighty God. This is not a feel-good thing. This is a righteous thing. We have a lot of folks wanting to feel good. Just feel better. You'll never feel better till Christ is the head of your home and the dominating force in your life. You can sing and shout all you want and dance about. It's not going to help you to be righteous. What helps you to be righteous is the preaching of this book and coming to an old-fashioned altar and getting things right with God. In America, all these behaviors are happening. And then with combined natural disasters of many kinds across the land, these are warnings, I think, about things to come. Jesus warned us in the end times. Go with me to Matthew chapter 24. Go down to verse number 9, please. Jesus warned that in the end times, the price of believing in him would be very high. You see, when you believe in Jesus and you live for him, you will be mocked. You will be laughed at. You will be persecuted, even to death. Some who are following Christ will be put to death. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. You shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. This is a realistic picture of our times. I am not trying to add anything additional to what the Scripture says. It's right there in black and white. It's what Jesus taught us was coming in the end times. You see, we have been shocked by scandals in the church. And there's scandals all over the church world. There's scandals in the government world. All over. In education, on Wall Street, at every level of authority. We have seen top officials of government abuse their office, been convicted of cheating and lying and fraud. Warnings from the Gospel of Matthew are not parables or myths. They're the headlines of our day, what Matthew has said. Go to Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. But the true church I love this thought. But the true church will grow through persecution. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When the work of the church is nearing fulfillment, Christ told his disciples there would be physical and visible signs that the final days had come. Well, we just talked about reading the times. Roman numeral 2, write this one down, please. The signs of his return. The signs of his return. The great shaking is coming. Matthew chapter 24, verse 29. Faithful Christians will rejoice, but those who have denied Christ will tremble. Those who are denying Christ tonight will tremble when the end comes. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. There's a shaking coming. Look at verse 30 and 31, please, if you will. Here's the sign. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man come in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. What he had told them about the end of the age, he had said, and he had used, his illustration was with a fig tree. It was the time of Noah. Go to Matthew chapter 24, look at verse 32. Let me read just five verses for you. 32 through 37, please. Follow me as I read. Now learn a parable of the fig tree when his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves. You know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Aren't you glad? But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. What he had told them about the end of the age with a fig tree and with the time of Noah is found right there. And in those stunning images, we have a glimpse of what the final storm is going to look like. Though no one believed Noah's revelation, and you know, nobody did. Noah was well over 100 years building that boat. Noah was a long time building that ark. And he kept warning the folks, it's going to rain. Water's going to come, and if you don't find yourself in the ark, you're going to be all drowned. You've been preaching that for almost 90 years, man. Nobody believes that stuff anymore. I'm telling you, Noah said, it's coming. If you don't get in the ark, you're going to drown. The floodwaters will rise. The only place you're going to be safe is the boat. That boat represents Jesus Christ. The only place you're going to be safe, ladies and gentlemen, is not in a church, it's not in a choir, it's not in the baptistry, it's in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. It's only through Jesus. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, let God deal with your heart. He wants you to know him as personal Savior. Though no one believed Noah's revelation, the flood was coming, would destroy the world. So it is in our generation. The unbelieving world refuses to embrace the literal return of Jesus Christ. But he will come at a time only known to the Father. But ladies and gentlemen, would you please mark it down? He's coming. They didn't believe about the flood either. But the flood came. And the Bible says this about the flood, and washed them all away. I used to preach an illustrated sermon about that flood. I used to build a little ark in my revival meetings when I was preaching, and I'd have the church men help me build a little boat. And I'd have kids help me to illustrate that sermon, and I would have kids clawing at the door. Noah! Let me in! And boy, it would stir the crowd. It would even stir those kids who were clawing at the door. I said, the floodwaters kept rising and kept rising, and once it rose as high enough, it just drove them all away. They were all drowned in the floodwaters. I had the kids roll over as if they were flooded away. Lots of those kids came to an altar that same night in many of those meetings and trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Because some people say, well, Noah shut the door. Hold it. Noah never shut the door. Now, I think we have a song on our playlist that says, Noah, hurry up and shut the door. Well, Noah never got to shut the door. God shut the door. You see, if Noah had shut the door, Noah might have been a lot like us. Hey, let's let them in. Come on, before they all drown, let's let them in. But Noah did not shut the door. Therefore, Noah could not open the door. God had shut the door. And he washed them all away. You say, that's not fair. It was fair because God had given them literally 120 years nearly to repent. And don't ever anybody in this church or anybody listening by radio that comes and hears this preacher preach say, I didn't know. I tell you almost every week that you're going to be washed away unless you know Jesus Christ. Someday there's a storm coming. And you and I, if we play around with the things of the devil and things of the world, someday we're going to be all swept away. Is your salvation really real? Clawing at the door, let me in! Let me in! No way he could. And someday, as much as I would love to help everybody, when God says, that's it, no more dealing, no more. No matter what I say, no matter how nice I am, no matter how pleasant I can be, you're beyond help. Have you ever seen anybody beyond help? I'll never forget this night down in Zanesville, Ohio, as I was preaching in a small church in Zanesville, Ohio, and this woman came to church. And she came painted up like a Jezebel. I mean really painted. When I gave the altar service, she came forward with all that goop smeared all down her face. She'd been crying so hard, the goop was everywhere. And she cried as she beat the altar, I want to be saved, God, listen to me. And she got up from that altar and said, Preacher, God won't listen to me. I passed the line. Well, I can't tell you if she did or not, but she said she did. And she walked out of that church screaming, I can't get saved. I never heard from her again. That was the saddest night I've ever had preaching. A woman in her mid-50s probably, leaving that church screaming and hollering. I played too long. He won't listen to me. I do know this. Teenagers and everybody listening very closely. There is a demarcation line between his mercy and his wrath. You mark it down. I'm not trying to scare anybody, but there is a line. And once you cross that line, there is no hope. Ladies and gentlemen, while there's hope tonight, while there's life and vigor and vitality in you, you ought to come running to an altar. Say, God, would you please help me? The signs of the times. While the message of Christ promises hope in troubled times, it also proclaims that the world's days are numbered. My third and final point, let's look at the signs of the end. Every time we go by a cemetery, it testifies that there's coming an end. Every time I take a body to the cemetery, it tells me there's coming an end to everybody. Look at Daniel chapter 12 and verse number 4, please. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Is this our generation? Today there is more knowledge about everything than at any other time in history. This information highway seems endless, doesn't it? While people are gaining knowledge, listen to me closely, knowledge is going along really well. But people are not gaining wisdom in how to use that knowledge. Our heads are filled with knowledge. Our heads in this country are full of knowledge. But we're still so confused. We're so bewildered. We're so frustrated. And we have no moral moorings at all. The Bible says that at the end of the world system is power without peace. Joining the war on terror are many civil wars taking place all over the world, not to exclude the fact that the world is still under the threat of nuclear war. Even more so, I call them scoundrel nations, rogue nations, mischievous nations, could gain nuclear weaponry or dirty bombs and unleash these in random acts of terror. And don't you think America couldn't get hit again? Some of these rogue nations, scoundrels I call them, could get a dirty bomb, and maybe they might be just a little insignificant nation, but they'd like to take down big America. Brethren, I'm telling you, we live in difficult times. Difficult times when we should be about the Father's business more than anything else. Be about His business. The stirring message in Matthew chapter 24. I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, please. But the stirring message of Matthew 24 assures us of the eternal security of those who put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It tells me one more time of the security I have in the Lord Jesus. Death is not the real issue. By the way, everybody's going to face death. What's it say in Hebrews 9? And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Everybody's going to die, and everybody's going to face God. Jesus offers the promise of eternal life. Every person tonight in this building listening by radio has the responsibility to respond to the gospel before death closes the door on life. There's a door to heaven, I believe that. And Jesus is that door. There's a door to hell, and I believe that. God in His mercy has provided the door to heaven for us through Jesus Christ and through His death on the cross and through His wonderful resurrection. We will accept His gracious gift of salvation by turning to Jesus in repentance or faith, or we'll be headed for hell because we did not accept what Jesus has done. Where are you tonight? These are the signs of the times. The Bible teaches us in 1 John chapter 2, verse 17, that the world, as we know it, shall someday come to a close. And the world passeth away. That's the world we know. And the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Wow, what truth. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. You know, this whole stuff doesn't look very good, does it? You've got to know God. Listen, everybody here has got to know God. It's not the issues that you're trying to make issues of. You've got to know God.
Amen.
If you don't know Him, you're headed for hell. But let's talk just a little bit about some good news. God loves you.
Amen.
That's the good news. That's all I need to hear. God loves me. God loves you. God loves you. I appreciate what I've been hearing. A man said to me the other day, you know, I gave to the station preacher because I heard a message. Heard a message from our pulpit. Investing in eternity. And I said, that's exactly how it's supposed to work. God works through His preached word to touch our hearts, to get us to do what God wants us to do. Listen, don't turn God away. Don't turn the preaching away. Don't do something else while I'm preaching. Listen up. Pay attention. God's trying to talk. Brother Mark, do you mind if I use you? Brother Mark said to me today, he called me on the phone. He said, preacher, I haven't been in church like I should. He started to weep. He said, I was listening to you by radio this morning. He said, that message just gripped me. He started to cry. Do you mind if I come back to church? I said, do I mind? I want you here. Come on, man. I'll be there tonight. There he sits. He is weeping. What does that? The word preached. The word preached. Now listen to me, everyone. Don't do something else while preaching's going on. Listen to preaching. God's got a pattern. He gives us pastors to preach to us, to help us to draw close to Him. God loves you. He provides grace for you. By the way, if we confess our sins, we forsake our sins, accept His forgiveness, and walk with Him. By faith, we can know the joy of His presence even in the midst of life's storms. You may be going through a storm, but you can still know His presence. Look at John chapter 14 and verse number 6. Jesus says unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. And then Jesus told His disciples in John chapter 16, verse 33, these things I have spoken unto you that ye, in me you might have, look at that word, peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world.
Amen.
You can have peace. Don't live frustrated. Have peace. That's settled way down inside. Go with me to Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Paul told the church at Colossae, and let the peace, there's that word again, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Isn't that what we need tonight? In our lives is peace. God, I'm so confused. I'm so messed up. There's so many things wrong. God says, let the peace of God reign in your hearts. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And be ye thankful. Signs of the time. Does not the Bible say, in fact, turn with me, it's not back there for Don, I don't think. But Don, if you'll find Romans chapter 6, verse 14. Would you grab a Bible and open it up to it? Doesn't the Bible say that sin shall not have dominion over us? If Jesus Christ is in our hearts and He's my Lord, He's my Master, then sin shall not have dominion over me? Isn't that what it says? Look at that verse. It's up here already. For sin shall not have dominion over you. You don't need to sit in a bar. You don't need to have a needle in your arm. You don't need to be in some kind of pornography. Nothing needs to dominate you except God. And for sin shall not have dominion over you. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. Don't let anything have dominion over you. Bad attitude, bad spirit, get it out of there. Give yourself to God. I want to tell you this. Either self will reign in our lives or Jesus Christ is going to reign. Here's how it works. Either I myself reign in my life and I do what I very well want to do, or I let him rule and reign in my life and I just simply follow what he wants me to do. There's a lot of times that I'm sure many of you are here have the same problem. There's some things I just don't want to do. But if he rules and reigns, he helps me to do what I don't think I want to do. Amen? All right. It's either self or Christ reigning tonight in your heart. These are signs of the time. You want to have peace with God and find security for these troubled times? You must answer, I think, one very important question. Listen to the question. Again, if you want to have peace with God and find security for these troubled times, you must answer one very important question. Who is the ruler of your life? Your money? Your job? Your house? Your things? Your pleasure? Your drugs? Your alcohol? Your plan? Or is it Jesus? Who's the ruler of your life? Ladies are coming, I'll be finished. And do you know what I think? I think Jesus Christ can come into your hearts right now. If you'll turn from your sins and receive him as Savior, he'll come in right now. He loves you just that much. He knows you by name. And he wants to do for you what no one else can do. He wants to forgive you of your sin. Wow. Let me say this before I'm done. Sin, if left unchecked, leads to chaos and eventually destruction. Sin, if left unchecked, leads to chaos and destruction. However, the Lord Jesus Christ right now is standing by to pick us up, set us on a path. He wants to set us on a path that leads to forgiveness, eternal life. You know why? Because he alone, somebody will write this down. This is such a good statement. He alone is the keeper of the signs of the times. He alone is the keeper of the signs of the time. Do you know him as your personal Savior? The signs of the time. Have you dedicated your life to him? Is there something awry? Has something taken your zeal and your joy? We all face battles. We all face heavy burdens. And I'm telling you, if it wasn't for God, I couldn't be doing what I'm doing right now. But oh, I'm telling you what, inside this frame, it might be little, but there's a big God right in here. There's a mighty big God in here. I love him with all of my heart. And he has done so much for me. It causes me to want to preach. Amen. It causes me to want to lead. Where are you at tonight? Give yourself to God. Maybe we ought to start out all this holiday season a little better than we've ever done it. Give ourselves to God like we've never done it before. Because the signs of the times are getting worse. I say, like the man of God said, even so, come, Lord Jesus. It'd be fine for me if he'd come right now. Wouldn't that be great? Let's stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.
On behalf of Pastor James Lewis and the entire Harvest Baptist Temple, we'd like to say thank you for downloading this message, and it's our prayer it's been a blessing and an encouragement to you. Would you do us just a small favor, please? Take a minute and send us an email just to let us know where in the world you're listening to this message. For example, if you live in China, just simply say, "I'm from China," and give us the title of the message you downloaded. If you'd like to give us more detail, that's fine too. We would just like to know how many people in different parts of the world we're touching through this ministry. The email address is harvest@harvestbaptisttemple.com. We won't put you on any kind of a mailing list, and we certainly won't give your email address to anybody else. Thank you for taking a minute to help us out, and thank you for downloading this message. For more information about the Harvest Baptist Temple, look us up online at considerharvest.com. Considerharvest.com. God bless you.